Well, today we're going to take a break from the book of Acts. As we continue to honor the mothers among us, it's fitting to look to Scripture to see what the Lord has to say about mothers and the role of women among us. After all, the Bible places a premium on the honor we give to our parents. The fifth commandment is to honor our father and our mother. And this is the only commandment that carries its own special promise, saying that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Jesus also demonstrates a special honor for his earthly mother, as one of his last acts from his cross was to provide for her continued welfare and support by commending her to his most trusted disciple. Now, since 1914, the United States has set aside today as a national observance to remember and honor the work and legacy of mothers. But motherhood and womanhood have been celebrated and honored by God from time immemorial. We're going to look today at one of the most well-known of the passages of Scripture that celebrate and honor godly women. So if you want to be turning, we'll be looking at Proverbs 31 to see what God-breathed Scripture has to say for us today regarding the honor due women. And yes, we're going to talk about all women today, because even though our nation sets aside today specifically for mothers, God's design inseparably links womanhood with motherhood. In God's commission to man and woman, when he created them, he said to be fruitful and multiply, thus assuming that part of the God-designed role for women is to be mothers. But now, because of sin entering the world, our world is not perfect. There are many godly women in the world today who would love to be celebrating motherhood today, but their children have been taken from them by death. And there are many others who would love to be mothers, but due to circumstances or even disease or dysfunction, simply have not been able to have children. Yet these women are women who pour out their love into others' children, who share their wisdom and life experience with other young women and mothers, and who, even in their lack of biological children, have become mother figures to adoptive or spiritual children. So we honor all women today who have risen to their God-given calling and station in life today. Amen? Men, we need to hear this today too. This honor we bestow is not to be a token gesture. We're to honor women today and every day. Chauvinism has no place in the body of Christ. There are too many males in the world today that want to flout a perceived superiority over women, and many will even cite Scripture as support, because after all, Peter refers to women as the weaker vessel. But in that same passage found in 1 Peter 3:7, Peter admonishes men to honor their wives as weaker vessels. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul teaches us that in the body of Christ, we are to show more honor to those parts of the body that are perceived to be weaker. See, generally speaking, men are created with more physical strength and the capacity for brute force, just generally speaking. But this singular physical advantage was not given by God in order to be lorded over women, but rather to be used to serve the women that God has given us by providing for and protecting them, and thus honoring them. Just as we employ the strength of locks and security systems to protect our homes and the possessions of value that we cherish, so we are to employ our God-given strength to protect and honor the women that God has given us that we cherish. But we'll also see today that our passage begins with a search for a woman of virtue. In our culture today, we read the word virtue, we read into that word a meaning denoting traits of moral excellence. But the Hebrew word for the in the original text is defined as strength, might, valiance, ability, or even wealth. See, our passage today seeks out a strong and valiant woman. See, just because Peter refers to women as a, quote, weaker vessel, that does not in any way intimate that women are weak. Much to the contrary, in God's design, being a woman and a mother is an incredibly high calling and a daunting task, and most men just can't do it. I'm talking to myself. We weren't designed for it. So it's fitting today that the Bible speaks much of honoring the women among us and the high calling given to them. And it's fitting that in his final moments, Jesus honored his mother by ensuring she would be cared for. See, segments of our culture today are trying to blur or even erase the distinctions between male and female, man and woman. And the prevalence of talk about, quote, women's liberation and, quote, toxic masculinity are eroding the bedrock of our society and ultimately will take our society into further bondage. Because the ultimate goal is to suppress the image of God and the glory of God expressed in his gifts of gender and the equal yet differing roles to which he calls each. See, if we gain a proper biblical understanding, we see that motherhood is not a burden, as some say. It's a blessing and a divine stewardship. And we see that womanhood is not a state of discrimination, but rather a unique opportunity to demonstrate the glory of God as expressed through biblical femininity. So as we proceed, let's hear what God's Word has to say about the honor of womanhood and the motherly nature that accompanies it. For mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, adoptive mothers, and even for the young women here who someday may become wives and mothers, let us hear how God describes the high calling he has placed on you. Men, let us hear that high calling and thank God for the strength of the women and mothers God has blessed us to have and to know. And let's see how the glory of God is demonstrated through the life and ministry of a virtuous woman like the one found here. So as we read, as you're able, would you stand in reverence for the Word of God, knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching and correction, that we may be complete and thoroughly finished unto all good works. This is Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we proceed, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, illuminate us. Help us to see, help us to understand. But Lord, more than just an understanding of the mind, may it change our hearts, Lord, and challenge us to be more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So as we begin, let me first point out a few observations, and then we'll outline the main themes. See, we already discussed the meaning of the word virtue in the Hebrew, but now consider the context. The beginning of this chapter informs us that this passage is a prophecy that the king's mother taught him. So the mother is advising her son and says, "Who can find a virtuous or strong woman?" See, the context indicates that the type of woman about to be described is not commonly found, but is something to be desired and sought out. Now, because this comes from Holy Scripture, it tells us that we as men should aspire to find such a woman. And it tells women that they should aspire to be such as is described. But now note the rest of the verse. Her price is far above rubies. The popular adage is that diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? But in truth, rubies are more rare and more valuable than diamonds. According to gem expert Chris Ralph, he says, "The finest, the very finest top quality ruby is so rare that it has been the world's most valued gemstone for thousands of years. In fact, even today, flawless top quality rubies are more valuable and rare than top quality colorless diamonds. A 16 carat ruby sold at auction for $227,301 per carat at Sotheby's in 1988. What would that number be now? So rubies are extremely valuable. But who sets their value? Have you considered that? Just as with anything else, in all of history, an item's value is set not by the price tag set on it, but by what someone is willing to pay for it. If we go shopping for a car, but we think the price is too high and we don't purchase, then it wasn't that valuable to us. And yet every time we go to the gas pump, we may complain about the price of gas, and yet we buy it anyway. Because we value the ability to drive where we want to go more than we value the nearly $3 we pay for each gallon. See, we determine the value of any object based on what we're willing to give in exchange for it. This strong woman is valued more than the rarest and most valuable gemstone on earth. And the indication is that when a man finds a woman such as the one here described, he should be willing to pay any price. Give anything he must to make her his own. Because that's how valuable she is and how honored she is. So men, I ask you today, do we honor our wives like this? Children, are you honoring your mothers like this? Are we teaching our daughters to wait for a young man who will honor and value her like this? It's not enough to simply say the words and give cards. Are we demonstrating to our women and mothers how valuable they are to us? Not just today, but every day. Do they know from our actions and our words, that they are more precious to us than anything money can buy. Here's another observation before we dig into the description. In the Hebrew, the whole passage is not structured as a series of wise sayings like much of the rest of the book of Proverbs. A lot of it is couplets. It'll say something and then it'll either say it again a different way or it will say it in opposite. So it's just a series of wise sayings. But this section, the entire 22 verses, is a poem. We don't realize that when we read it in English, but in Hebrew, it's a poem. It's structured as an acrostic. Each of the 22 verses begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 characters. See, Hebrew poetry isn't characterized by a rhyme scheme or meter like it is in English. Rather, Hebrew poetry is organized by structures or by repetition. So, more than one of the Psalms is marked by this acrostic type structure. So this passage really could be called a song. As such, we won't find the themes neatly wrapped up in sections. Rather, we find them woven throughout the structure. So looking just verse by verse through the passage won't benefit us as much as looking at it as a whole. So with that in mind, let's look at a few of the traits that characterize this strong woman and mother described here, this picture of biblical womanhood. And the first thing we see is that she is faithful. She's faithful. We see this in verses 11 and 12. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." See, this woman is trustworthy and faithful. She is steadfastly loyal to her husband and meets his needs so that he never has need to look anywhere else. He doesn't live in fear that she may leave or look for greener pastures. He trusts her and needs only look to her. He knows that his best interests are in her heart, and trusts that she will not mistreat, cheat, or otherwise breach his trust. Now, in this day and age, it's equally difficult to find a faithful man or a faithful woman. How precious and valuable it is to find such a one. So, men, if you've found a faithful partner in whom your heart can trust, honor her today. Second thing we see is she's industrious. She's industrious. We see this throughout the passage in verses 13 through 16, then in verse 19, and in verse 24. Now, the economy of our current time is vastly different from when this was written. So we have to consider how to apply the theme behind the words to our current context. Because, see, while the spinning wheel was once a common asset in any house, it's not so common today. How many of you ladies have a spinning wheel? No one? Well, guess what? It's not necessary. There is not a need for women to learn once again how to spin in order to be this virtuous woman. Read beyond the words, and we'll find the truth for today that a woman of virtue is industrious. See, she takes seriously the stewardship she's been given and utilizes her gifts and talents to capitalize the time. In verse 13, she seeks out work in order to be productive. In other words, she's proactive rather than reactive. In verse 14, she searches out the best for her family, even if it means searching long distances and waiting for the best things. In verse 15, she does whatever it takes in order to provide for her household, even if it means she loses sleep. In verse 16, she is entrepreneurial and a wise investor of her time and resources. And in verses 19 and 24, she employs her gifts, her talents, and the skills that she has learned and practiced in order to benefit her household. Verse 23 says that she does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, that isn't to say that she never rests or never relaxes, but she takes seriously the stewardship she's been given and utilizes her gifts and talents to capitalize the time because she's industrious. How many of you are glad today to say you've been blessed by wives and mothers who have worked hard and tirelessly to provide a home, an education, and a refuge from the world for her family? I'm thankful for both, that my mother worked tirelessly to serve us, and that Jessica does the same for our family now. If you can say the same, honor them today. Their value is priceless. And the third thing we see is she is bold. The virtuous woman is bold. Verses 17 and 18 paint a picture of a bold woman. She girds her loins with strength, it says. And that's a word picture usually reserved to describe the actions of men. But she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She's preparing to do battle with whatever may come to hinder her in her mission. She knows that her merchandise is of high quality, and her candle doesn't go out at night. See, she's confident in the work that she does and what she produces, and she's confident in her ministry, and she doesn't give up. Even when the day seems long spent, she doesn't quit. So if you've been blessed by women in your life who have modeled confidence and boldness for you, now I haven't been here too long, but I've already met many in this church who have modeled that for me. We're blessed here, and we should honor them today. She's compassionate. Verse 20 points out that her boldness is tempered by compassion and mercy. She extends her hand to help those in need. And see, this is a Christ-like quality. As many times in the Gospels, we're told that Jesus looked out on the masses and was moved with compassion for them. God prizes and honors a compassionate heart. And see, my mom didn't have much when we were young, but no one ever came to our house hungry and left the same way. She never turned a neighbor away if they needed something that we could provide. She taught us to be generous when others had needs. And now my family tries to continue teaching that today. Is your home occupied by, or have you been impacted by, the compassionate heart of a strong woman? Honor her today. The fifth thing we see is she's prepared. Verses 21 and 22 and verse 27 tell us that a virtuous woman is prepared. She doesn't fear foul weather or economic downturns because she's prepared. She has clothed or covered herself and her family well, meaning not only that they have adequate clothing, but also adequate preparations to cover them in any event. She's not afraid of the snow. You know, we get a forecast for a little bit of snow and there's a run on milk and bread because everybody's afraid. But the strong woman does not fear the snow because she's already prepared. She thinks ahead and prepares ahead of time for contingency so that her family can dwell safely and with peace of mind. See, honor the women in your life today that provided food in the pantry, clothes in the closet, a rainy day savings fund, or any of the other numerous little ways in which a virtuous woman shows that she's thinking ahead and is prepared for what may come. She's well reputed. Verses 23, 25, and 31 all help to illustrate that a virtuous woman is well reputed. We already know that she's rare and valuable, and because of that, she has a good name. But in verse 23, we see that she is the glory of her husband and is a testimony to him as he's well known in the community on her behalf. See, there's truth to the adage that behind every good man stands a good woman. And then in verses 25 and 31, she stands on her own, clothed in strength and honor, while her own works testify to her in the community. See, we all benefit from the testimony of the virtuous women God has gifted to us. The world around us sees what a blessing they are, and as their own works praise them in the gates, so to speak. And yet, how is it that too often we fail to honor them ourselves? So let's fix that today. She is cherished. She's cherished. Verses 28 and 29 show us a proper response to the blessing of a virtuous woman among us. Her children rise up and bless her, as does her husband. The Bible says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And admittedly, that last phrase may show a little bit of author's bias, but there's truth to it. What I mean by that is, well, let's look at it this way. A virtuous woman who displays the characteristics we see here will be noticed by her family. Maybe not today, but someday. See, I can remember when I didn't appreciate my mother's discipline and wisdom as much as I do now. But now I look back and realize that she was the best. She's the best mama I ever had. She excelled them all. See, I'm sure many of you may feel the same about your own mothers. And I'm thankful for my wife. She is excellent. I don't tell her enough, so I'm stepping on my own toes here, okay? But she is a virtuous woman that God has given to me. I'm blessed, and I honor her today. Many have done wonderful things, but at least in my eyes, she's the best. She excels them all. Can you say the same for your mother, or for your wife, or for your daughter? If so, honor them today. And then the last thing we see is finally she is wise. Verses 26 and 30 prove this point. She opens her mouth with wisdom. But verse 30 says that she fears the Lord. Earlier in Proverbs, we hear repeatedly, and even in some of the Psalms, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So a virtuous woman reveres God and worships Him. She submits to His lordship, meaning she surrenders to His plan and the role He has for her. Every other trait that we've mentioned today is an outgrowth of her reverence of God, and that makes her wise. She's able to open her mouth and teach others, her children, her husband, other young women and mothers, because she has learned the wisdom that comes from God and has been taught by it herself. Are you thankful today to have a wife or a mother who loves and fears the Lord, who has gained wisdom from that relationship? So maybe there are some of you here today that you're only here today because a God-fearing mother or wife had the wisdom and the boldness to pray for you until you were saved. Honor her today. So as you can see from the Bible's description of the virtuous woman, being a godly woman and mother is a very high calling. It's not for the faint of heart. So while we honor our mothers today, we also honor all women today who are striving to attain this standard, because we all, like children, learn and benefit from the example you provide. See, none are perfect. I dare say none of you would confess to possess all of these qualities completely. And yet the opening question, who can find, indicates that such is rare. But it's a worthy pursuit. It's a worthy pursuit, because in the pursuit of such, you demonstrate to the world the glory of God. And you may be asking how. I keep talking about how it's a demonstration of the glory of God. And here's the crux. See, the truth is that womanhood, understood biblically, is a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You model for us who we should strive to be as a church. See, repeatedly in Scripture, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. Consider Paul's words in Ephesians 5, in verses 22 and 23. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." He continues the simile in verses 25 to 27. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church." He then goes on to make his point explicit in verses 31 and 32, saying, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." You understand? Marriage is for our benefit, but it's also to demonstrate for the world the picture of the relationship between the Lord and his church. See, the biblical roles for men and women are not arbitrarily decided in an effort to discriminate one against another, but are rather divinely designed in order to demonstrate the glory of God by mirroring the relationship of Jesus Christ to his church. Ultimately, the church of Jesus Christ is the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. So as we honor our mothers and the women in our lives today for the godly characteristics they strive to exhibit, we also have to ask ourselves, are we as a church living up to their example? When we speak, do we open our mouths with wisdom that grows out of a proper reverence of the Lord? Are we prepared for the times of storm and snow, having girded ourselves and all of our family with the clothing necessary to face those times, and that clothing being the armor of God? Are we bold in standing for the truth, knowing from experience that our merchandise is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we know from experience that our merchandise is good and profitable? And are we bold enough to never give up and never let our lamps go out, even when the dark times come? Do we say with Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto them who trust in him"? Is our boldness tempered with compassion as we, with the heart of Jesus, reach out our hands to those in need to provide what help we can while leading them to the shepherd who can supply every need? Are we industrious, utilizing our gifts, skills, and talents, whatever they may be, in order to redeem the time in these evil days and make the most of every moment in order to benefit our family, our community, and the kingdom of God? Are we diligently seeking out opportunities to labor for the Lord, demonstrating ingenuity and entrepreneurship to steward well all that he has given us? Are we well reputed in the community? Does Jesus receive praise in the community because of the example we set? That's a hard one. Because I'm not talking about, oh, the good programs and the good things that different churches do. I mean, when the people in the community see you and they realize that you're part of First Baptist Church in Hatfield, do they give praise and honor to Jesus because of who you are? See, are we faithful? Can the heart of Jesus safely trust in us? Do we do the Lord only good and never evil all the days of our lives? Do we bring honor to his name in the ways that we live our daily lives? Are we cherished? Do our children, those who have come to faith in Christ as a result of our faithful witness, do they rise up and call First Baptist Church of Hatfield blessed? Are we worthy of the praise of Jesus Christ Himself? Can He say to us, many daughters have done virtuously, but you've excelled them all? See, as with our wives, our mothers, our daughters, none of whom have attained perfection yet, we are not perfect. Individually and even as a church, we're not perfect, but are we striving to be that church? Are we striving to be that virtuous woman who the King of Glory is seeking? Regardless of where we are in our progress, we can know this. We are loved. We are cherished. See, the Lord Jesus set out to search for a virtuous church to be His bride. And in that search, He claimed we who were saved as His own. In His Word, He deigned to extol her virtues in Proverbs 31. But remember the structure of the passage. See, it's not a series of wise sayings. It's an acrostic poem. It's a song. Jesus doesn't just lay out guidelines for this is the woman I want. He sings her praise. He sings the praise of His glorious church. It recalls to mind the promise in Zephaniah 3:17 where it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee in singing. See, the Lord has found His virtuous woman, His church, and He rejoices over us with singing. Her price, our price, is far above rubies. Remember, we said that the value of an item is set by the one who purchases it. Our value isn't intrinsic. There's not that value in us of ourselves. But rather, Jesus considered His church so valuable that He paid a price for her of His own life. He bought her. He bought us with His precious blood. Acts 20:28, Paul commends the elders to steward well their responsibility to care for the Lord's church, telling them to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. See, the church, friend, we are the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. The Lord sought us out and bought us with His blood, not because we were already perfect, but because He loved us and knew what we could become with His help. That's why He sanctifies us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the church Jesus desires for us to be. So, ladies, mothers, grandmothers, adoptive mothers, spiritual mothers, mothers-to-be, and everything in between, we honor you today not for your perfection, but for your high calling and your journey toward it. We honor you because God has chosen the virtues of women to demonstrate for us what we should strive to be as a church of the Lord Jesus, the bride of Christ. We honor you because just as the church is precious to Jesus, you are precious to us. Thank you for modeling strength, wisdom, faithfulness, industry, boldness, compassion, and preparation for us. For that, may all of the husbands and children here today rise up and call you blessed. And may we all take comfort in knowing that the Lord Jesus calls us blessed. He cherishes us and has given Himself for us in order to sanctify us. And so in light of His great love toward us, may we commit to endeavor to become more and more like the virtuous bride about whom He sings. As we prepare to close, if you're here or listening today and you don't know the joy of salvation, if you don't know what it is to be so cherished by the Lord, you can know Him today. If the Spirit is stirring within you to seek Christ for salvation, that is the Lord searching you out. See, He still loves His church, but He still desires to add to His church all those that will seek Him for salvation. So will you come today as we sing? And for the rest of us, as we sing this closing hymn, let us simply reflect on the gifts God has given us in our mothers, biological and otherwise, and all the women in our lives who help us to see the glory of God as they fulfill their God-given roles. And let's commit to follow their example and become more and more like the church the Lord desires us to be. Will you stand as you're able as we sing?